This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today, Joe Biden visits Florida over the weekend and is asked a pretty tough question. Kevin McCarthy backtracks on his promise for all January 6 footage to be made public. And Dr. Fauci is confronted on masks from a source you wouldn't expect. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and over the weekend, Joe Biden actually took some time to visit some of the areas in Florida affected by Hurricane Idalia. Well, I say time, but to be clear, it was a five-hour trip before he turned right on around and used your taxpayer dollars to fly back to the beach in Delaware. But before he left Florida, he was asked about how he utilizes his time and why he visited Florida, but not East Palestine, Ohio, after disaster struck their town. Here was that exchange.
I said in March that you would go to East Palestine, Ohio. You came here. How come you haven't gone to East Palestine yet?
Well, I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here, and I just haven't been able to break. I was thinking whether I'd go to East Palestine this week, but I then was reminded I've got to go literally around the world. I'm going from Washington to India to Vietnam and so it's going to be a while. But we're making sure that East Palestine has what they need materially in order to deal with their problems.
He hasn't had the occasion. He's been so swamped. Where could he possibly find the time in his schedule? A fascinating response from someone who has spent 40% of his presidency on vacation, according to a new report. 382 out of 957 days in office, napping on the beach, eating pudding, laundering more money from foreign companies with his crackhead son Hunter. I don't know. You know, you'd think that a president would feel some sense of shame taking that much vacation while the country literally burns down behind him. Maui, he was nowhere to be found for weeks. East Palestine has waited 184 days. You would think a president would have enough sense to say, I shouldn't push this issue. Now, instead, President Puddinghead said while in Florida that all the time off he's taken off at his beach house doesn't count as vacation because the other home he can't go to while Secret Service strengthens the security there. Watch.
By the way, the reason I'm here today, just for one day, I know I'm on vacation. I'm not. I have no home to go to. The Secret Service has torn my house up in a good way to make it secure. So I have no place to go. I'm going to come to Delaware. I'm here right now. I'm only here for one day.
Are you homeless? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not homeless. I just have one home. I have a beautiful home. I'm down here for the day because I can't go home.
Oh. Okay, Joe, that might be believable if we didn't have photo after photo of you on the actual beach. Not working, not acting as president, just vacationing. But hey, I guess we should appreciate that because every time you do something in the official capacity as president, it sucks. Here to discuss this and more, we have Chad Prather, host of The Chad Prather Show, along with Blaze TV contributor Yaku Buyens, also host of The Bottom Line. Fascinating. These people have absolutely no self-awareness and no shame. None.
No. watching him explain that, you got to remember when Maui was on fire, he was in Rehoboth Beach. He was on vacation. After the fires, he went to Tahoe to go on vacation. And then from Tahoe, he went to Maui for a day, talked about how hot the asphalt was. And he got back on the plane. Oh, and, you know, lost a Corvette or almost lost a Corvette because of smoke fire in his kitchen. Everybody in Maui appreciated that sentiment. Then he got on the plane, went back to Tahoe to finish the vacation, and then went from Tahoe back to Rehoboth Beach. And he's going to keep trying to explain this thing away. So at this point, Joe Biden doesn't take vacations. He's on vacation. That's just where he lives. That's where he exists. And then he's going to come up with some kind of cockamamie explanation. Oh, I'm here for one day. I'm here for one day. You know, I don't have a home to go to. Go to the White House.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that's the point.
Go to the people's house. Like, you got a bed there.
Put you in the White House.
Yep.
Put you in the White House. The American people, 81 million. I mean, this is a historic election. You would think that this guy would just be raring to go. But they put a lid on it every Monday at 11, and they don't bother him Tuesday through Friday, except for 12 to 4, and then the weekends he has off. Mm-hmm. By the way, it would be an interesting thing to go back, because in recent history, the guy closest to him in terms of vacation days is George W. Bush. George W. Bush comes in second at this stage in the presidency of the most vacation days. It'd be interesting to go back and see how much the media lambasted George W. for that many vacation days. A little homework project for you guys.
Yeah, no, they smacked him.
Yeah.
They smacked him. But yes, but there's so much truth in these statements. I love it when Biden does speak, because the truth actually comes out. Listen to this statement. I'm going to go around the world, but I cannot get to East Palestine.
Right.
Because the American person just doesn't matter. I mean, I'm going to go to India. At this point, he'll visit the Palestinians in the desert outside of Jerusalem before he'll go to East Palestine. But this is the mantra and the MO of this whole administration. America last. Mm-hmm. America last. The whole world. I've got to go around the world.
It's a great point. He's like, oh, I got to go to India. I got to go to wherever. We didn't ask you about India.
Nope.
We really don't care about your visit to India.
Couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm. We don't care about you going to wherever you got to go that is not America. Mm-hmm. We didn't hire you to go deal with whatever, you know, transgender related issues in Pakistan or wherever they may be. That's not why you got hired.
But Chad, remember, this is the president of the United States that wasn't in America on President's Day.
Right. Mm. Right.
I mean, we could go on and on and on how he America last. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say this America First policy is not going to work? It's not good for the world. You know, he made a statement like that. I mean, Trump's America
they believe
First
that.
Policy.
Of course they do.
Because, I mean, what happens with the, I think we're allowed to say this on YouTube now, the Great Reset, right? What happens
Probably
when
not.
You create a new global
system
alliance?
Wouldn't it be, you know, in the time you could take a 747 from Washington, D.C. to India, you could probably drive from Rehoboth Beach to East Palestine, Ohio.
Yeah.
You probably drive it. I think you could make the time. I mean, anywhere he goes, whether it's Maui or Florida or whatever, you just stay in a couple of hours. He's back on the plane and back to the beach.
Yeah. No, exactly. But I want people I want the Americans to hear what the man is saying. You don't matter. Mm-hmm. His campaign, they just can't. There's just no time, guys. You don't understand. This guy's really, really busy. He's got to get just busy. You don't understand. Being president is hard. You know, you can't find the back door to the White House. You forgot that you have a house at the White House because your other house is under construction. So you just got to be at the beach. And not just be at the beach. It's not like he's doing community project. You got to go sleep at the beach.
Yeah.
Right.
I like how they take the pictures of him reading the briefs or whatever he's reading. You know, he's got some documents there in his lap. I guarantee you he's not reading that for 3 minutes before he's nodding off. Let's see the video of that. I mean, the guy can't stay awake while they're doing a memorial service for victims of the Maui fire. I don't think he's reading it. There he is. I think this is what we're getting is Joe with
that
the Ray-Bans.
He's working, hard working. Mm.
Get in, morons. Mm. We're going to the beach.
Oh, there he is again working hard. Wow.
Can we show that picture? We can't probably. That picture of Trump at like 1 a.m. in the morning walking from Marine One
with his tie
untied, going back to the office, knowing where the door to the office is first. Right?
Knowing the route. I was with Trump that night. It was a tough night.
Yeah. So you guys are mentioning what a slap in the face to Americans this is. And obviously, you're right. It is an America Last policy. I liked the tweet from the House Judiciary GOP, who just, as a reminder, said there are approximately 30,000 homeless veterans in the United States. But Joe Biden, who has two homes plus the White House, says he has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's what homeless means to the elitist.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
You got illegal aliens that are, you know, taking over people's. I mean, what the governor of Massachusetts says, we want you to open your home to illegals.
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's where we're at this point?
You first, Governor.
Yeah, you first. Open up the mansion, buddy. And then the hotel owners in New York City, they're like, we can't do this. And they're trashing the thing.
Good for business.
It's not as horrible for business. I mean, the Casper, Wyoming, where I'll be doing a show in Mills, Wyoming, right outside of Casper in a couple of weeks. They're dealing with homeless issues right now where the people are having to come in and the cleanup crews have had to clean up like 100 pounds of human feces off the streets of Casper, Wyoming.
Yep.
And it's like, we're really dealing with this in Casper, Wyoming? I mean, this is an issue in America right now. That's and Joe cool. Biden's going to say, I don't have a home. The fact that people are willing to just get slapped around like they're ignorant putzes, by this guy is amazing to me.
Well, Chad, you know what we should do? Sorry, sir. We should give him a tent in downtown LA.
San Diego.
Give him a tent. Give him
good
a little bit of fentanyl.
San Diego, yeah.
A little bit of fentanyl so he can stand like a zombie, because that's what he's doing to the rest of America, right? He's creating zombie land, rest of America. Give him a tent. Make some friends down there. You blend in.
I was in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, these tent cities have gotten so sophisticated. I think some of them have plumbing. Like, I mean, like they're connecting them. They're building
There's
on
flat
additions.
Flat screen TVs.
Dude.
You see the one with the flat screen TVs?
Oh, no.
Yeah, flat screen TVs.
I mean, this is it's getting sophisticated.
Hey, you can get it for free, Sarah. You don't just walk in, get your flat screen TV. It's like
if you just controls. If you could just outwalk the. You know, the security guy, which normally they just kind of wave you off and pull their iPhones out and film you taking it.
I was so jaded. This has been years now, but it was when flat screen TVs just started coming out and being affordable, I think, for like most, yes. You know, middle class Americans. And I had it was a big size. It still worked fine, but it was just clunky in the back. It was big in the back. And I called trying to donate it. And all of these charities told me like, oh, no, we don't take we only take the smaller, the slim flat screens. And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, it's real.
Okay. So if you're going to a charity for your stuff, you get to be picky about your flat screen TV. Screw you. I'm not giving you any of my stuff now.
Aren't you more compassionate? Sarah?
I'm like, what? Are you? Oh, okay.
We're a bougie charity.
Yeah, you won't take my Nintendo Wii. You only want the Nintendo Switch too.
That's sort of how I imagine it went down on Martha's Vineyard when those 48 illegals showed up in there. We're not having oatmeal cookies here.
Nope.
Only the finest chocolates.
Hey, that happened. New York, like, hey, we want a certain hotel room, a certain.
They did.
That's what they were promised.
They did. They
Uncle
were promised.
Joe, Uncle Joe told them.
Yeah,
he promised him. I'll never forget when Nelson Mandela came out of prison. And for the South Africans, you'll remember. Nelson was good. Thabo Mbeki took over. And he promised every single black South African a washing machine. And as people today, 26, 28 years later, still waiting for their washing machines.
Yeah. It's the same deal as a kid running for 8th grade class president, promising to put a vending machine for Coca-Cola's in the, you know, out in the school, you know, lobby whatever.
Handouts. Yeah.
So I want to play really quickly talking about having no shame. So yesterday, Joe Biden gave a Labor Day speech in Philadelphia, and he had the nerve to, I guess this is what you do when you really don't have an actual good job record. You just make stuff up. And so this is Joe Biden talking about his track record of job creation. Watch.
800,000 new manufacturing jobs. But you wouldn't know from all the negative news you hear. Well, we're getting through this one of the greatest job creation periods in American history. For real, that's a fact.
For real.
So when you get to use all of the jobs that the government literally made you stop doing, you get to twist the statistics and say, we have created this many jobs. Well, 72% of those, according to the Congressional Budget website, all job gains since 2021 have been recovered post-pandemic and not created.
And not to mention the fact that things are so expensive, you got to work two or three jobs just to afford stuff.
Right.
I mean, how do you do that? Like, okay, last year, I think, I'm spitballing here, but I'm going to go roughly. I think I'm pretty close. Last year, I received 168 1099s. Yeah. You're self-employed. You know what a 1099 is. You go out, you speak somewhere, they pay you. They send you a 1099. You're like, wow, you make that much money? No, I make half of that much money because they're going to send me a 1099, and a self-employment tax is going to take, you know, 60% of that away. So, does that mean I have 168 jobs? Have 168 jobs been created by Joe Biden for
Very
me that I
point.
Went out and did all
Very
those
good
gigs?
Good point, brother.
Are you counting that?
Yeah, they are, of course. Are you kidding me?
Of course they are.
But they also count a reverse. They'll lose 250,000 children from the border, and they'll tell you it's 85,000.
Yeah.
You know, the math, man, math is very fluid.
Yeah.
in this administration? Oh, man, one-on-one is not always two, Chad. Yeah. It depends on where we are in the campaign cycle.
It's common core. It's common core job creation.
It's common core.
Common core child losing children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just.
I mean, they don't know how to do the math.
It depends on whether he's awake, sleeping, which beach he's on.
Here's another deal. I'll make a point on that.
Uh-oh.
If you don't believe what we're saying here, I'll tell you what. Do you trust the IRS's math when it comes to your income? When you bring them into your house, let them audit, you call them up, say, you know what, I don't think I did it right coming here. See if you trust their math. I guarantee you, the federal government's math ain't going to match up with yours.
No way.
Never. Mm-hmm. And you don't trust it to match up with yours. So if you're going to defend Joe Biden talking about his job creation numbers, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and go to break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor first, Raycon. So Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, sound better than, in my opinion, any of their competitors. They've got these optimized gel tips in a range of sizes so you can get the size that works for you and use that to get a perfect in-ear fit. They're super comfortable. I use them to work out and I'm doing like burpees. Like I am getting active and those things stay in my ear. You know why? Because not only do you have that gel tip that I just talked about, but also they don't have the dumb stems that just hang out of your ear and just make it more likely to weigh it down and fall out. They give you 8 hours of playtime, a 32-hour battery life, and they have over 78,000 five-star reviews. One of those is mine, especially because you're going to get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. They've got noise isolation. They've got awareness mode. They've got high-fidelity audio features. My whole family loves Raycon. Do you know how I know this? Because they keep stealing my Raycons, and I have to keep going back and getting more of them. So trust me when I tell you. You're going to love them. So make sure to go to buyraycon.com/Y today. For a limited time, you can get 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. That's B-U-Y, buyraycon.com/Y to get 20% off. House Republicans announced last week that members of the media and other qualified individuals will now have access to view footage from January 6, 2021. This obviously is backtracking on the promise that Speaker McCarthy made to the American people when he said, "We will make all of the footage public." That's what he says. Now, according to these instructions, you have to be a qualifying nonprofit organization or a news outlet. And they have all of this strict criteria that you have to meet in order to be able to view this particular footage. And I wanted to bring in here someone who has combed through endless hours of this footage, Steve Baker. He is an investigative journalist and also part of the Blaze TV team. So we appreciate you being here, Blaze TV contributor. So Steve, you, how many hours do you think that you've sifted through on this so far?
If we're talking about the 41,000 hours of mm-hmm. video, I've only had a few days and nobody can go through all that video.
Right,
it would take years of endless nonstop viewing to get through it. And in fact, under the new rules that they put out, as one of my friends put it, you would have to go all the way back to when David was slaying Goliath and start then getting your 3 hours a week in order to complete the viewing of all of that video. Mm-hmm. So it's a daunting and an impossible task to go through it all, but you have to be aware of what you're looking for before you even start. And mm-hmm. fortunately, when I got in, I knew exactly what I was looking for.
So what is your take on Kevin McCarthy and the House GOP's new criteria all of a sudden that you have to meet in order to view this footage?
Obviously, we were very excited when they initially announced that they were going to put that video up somewhere. In fact, I wanted Elon to put it up. I wanted his mm-hmm. programmers to put it up and make it even more user-friendly to access. And I thought that was a great idea, but obviously nobody bought on that. And it was just shortly thereafter that they withdrew, and then they used Tucker as the first guinea pig, mm-hmm. and then Julie Kelly, John Solomon, Joe Hanneman from the Epoch Times, and then myself were the five independent journalists or journalists that were allowed to go in. And they, essentially, the House administration staffers used us as the guinea pigs to figure out how they wanted to set up the new guidelines.
Are you going to, so you get to keep your allowance to your access to go view that footage under these new rules?
Yeah, as of today, I received a message from House admin that I would be allowed back in next week.
Okay. What can you make of all of the footage? I know there's a lot that you're piecing together, trying to get out to the American public, but just in a broader sense, what you can say right now, What do you make of all of this footage that you've combed through and you try to square it with the narrative that the left continues to sell the American public?
Well, first of all, it's incredibly difficult because you have to understand, as I mentioned before, the enormity of the process. Mm-hmm. There's over 1,700 cameras inside and outside the Capitol, over 40,000 hours just on the day alone of January 6th. And then once you start going in and looking at all of this, there's so many gaps. There's so much wasted time that you spend. It's such a daunting process because if you are tracking a person, an individual, be it a protester who did bad or somebody you're trying to help on their defense, tracking them through and then finding the missing gaps in the footage or where the cameras are missing. And then, unfortunately, there are gaps in the footage of cameras that were working, and all of a sudden there's 3 or 4 hours missing in the middle of the riot itself. And so we're running into that problem. And then, of course, there are also, out of the 1,700 plus cameras, there's some of those cameras, there's no footage whatsoever, although the Capitol police have told us that all of their cameras were functional that day.
Very convenient. Well, so there was a CBS report today that the FBI is still searching for, they say, January 6th fugitives. They said that there are 4 fugitives from Tampa, Florida. One of them is a member of the Proud Boys, which, you know, they throw that name in there just so that you already think very low of this individual. How dare he be a Proud Boy? It's just fascinating. You keep seeing. This is September 5th, 2023 today, and we are still seeing the FBI and the DOJ put so much concentration on January 6th, oftentimes nonviolent people who didn't break anything in the Capitol, they didn't vandalize anything, they didn't hit anyone, but they still are not only having, you know, the FBI on the hunt for them, similar to your friend, Chad, Nathan Hughes?
Yeah.
He just got picked up by the FBI. So you're seeing them put all of these resources into it. You're seeing these people get sentences of 17 years, 18 years for no violence. It's mind-boggling to me. What do you make of that?
Scary words.
Yeah.
If you use the words of a founding father, if you use revolutionary style rhetoric, things that we've studied, those of us who've studied those types of things, and you use those words either leading up to or after the day, you're just as likely to be convicted of some sort of conspiracy to overthrow the government having done nothing whatsoever. And that's what's happening in so many of these cases, and especially what I've witnessed in the trials that I've covered myself.
Mm-hmm. When you're in the room, can you ask to jump to a certain time code? Can you curate which time code, what hour you want to go to, or is someone over your shoulder?
No, nobody's over our shoulders whatsoever. Yeah. We've been left alone to look for what we went in there to find. And I have, as a matter of fact, in this notebook right here, I have hours of time codes and camera numbers already ready to submit my request for this time for the stories that we're building right now.
And a couple of quick fire questions. Are you under any gag, any NDA of what you've seen? Can you get access to the footage? Can you redistribute the footage? Can the American people, because when McCarthy said the footage is going to come out, we're talking about the American people seeing the footage.
Well, that was certainly how they made it sound.
Of course. So will the American people ever see what, can you select, okay, I want our 105 to our 115, and I'm going to be able to show that to the American people? Or?
Ostensibly, yes, but if you remember, even when Tucker did his first night of release, they blurred some walls out and did that sort of thing. So under the new guidelines, they say that they'll be blurring out Capitol Police officers' faces. Any request that I make when we finally submit for the batch of video that we want for our big story that's coming, we will have to run that past the Capitol Police, their security concerns, and so we don't know what we'll get. Now, the problem with that is I have already seen that, and I've also brought other eyeballs in to see it as well. So we have witnesses besides myself who have seen the footage. If they deny it, then it becomes the story of the cover-up of the cover-up.
So at the end of the day, what is the end goal? I mean, you're pouring through all of this stuff. Is this the exoneration and evidence for people that are innocent that are being accused? Is it just an overlook and a summary of the entire debacle? Or, I mean, what do we gain out of all of this?
Specifically on the particular story that I'm working on, I was sitting in one of the trials back last fall. Mm-hmm. And in that trial, I saw something that did not ring true. Mm. It was one of those moments between the judge and the lead prosecuting attorney that I, just by instinct, thought I saw collusion, body language, the connection didn't work. I saw the panic of the prosecutor. I saw the panic of the judge in suppressing evidence. And then I started the process of digging myself. Mm-hmm. And as I dug further and further and further, I finally got granted the opportunity to get inside that video room. And I knew exactly where to go. Yeah. I knew exactly what I was looking for. And then in the three full days that I've had already, I never intended to spend all my time on this one story. I went in there with about six different stories I wanted to harvest video for. Yeah. And the story that I thought I knew was shady, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew.
You know, but it's a needle in a haystack theory. But when you know where you want to find a needle, and I think you don't have to, exposing the fact that there's can I say, foul play, tampering, you know, then brings the whole batch in question. You know, and I think that's the point. It's, you know, it's it's be very, very efficient and effective and thorough on this one thing and say, look, this whole thing stinks to high heaven.
And that's what is going to happen. I think that when we reveal a couple of these key moments of not only evidence tampering, evidence suppression, creating of evidence that did not exist out of whole cloth, what we have seen with our own eyes in that video room, that the potential exists that somebody's going to hit the pause button. Might be an appellate court, and somebody might say, okay, let's stop right now and let's go back and look at everything.
Certainly if there's someone acting in good faith, that's what they would do. Yeah. So when do we get to know the story, Steve? you're killing us here.
Work faster.
I know. When do we get to know it?
3 hours a week. Come on, Steve.
Everybody is killing me on that. And on the platform formerly known as Twitter, X, I get ripped to shreds every day, and I get accused of hating it. I've been accused of being a Fed. I've been accused of all the things that we see on social media like that. People are dying. People are being put away, and it's my fault because I haven't released this. But let me tell you, we're working with Congress on this story. Yeah. I'm working directly with congressional investigators, congressional attorneys. I'm working with their staff members, working with chiefs of staff of congressmen, because this story is going to rock Chapel Hill. I'm Chapel Hill. I live in Raleigh.
It should rock Chapel Hill too, brother. Rock Duke, and while you added Rock Duke as well.
Chapel Hill's where
Wake
my daughter
Forest,
went
all of them.
Right, went to college. But no, it's one of those things where we have to, and it's cliche, but we have to dot all the I's, we have to cross all the T's, we have to be exactly right, and we have to have all of the footage, not just where we find the event, but then they'll tell us, oh, well, that happened somewhere else, or we have to have everything in order to seal the deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really important to this, and that's the only reason for the delay. I mean, we could tell the story right now, but we've got to put the video together and figure out how we want to present it, and there's some other very important work that has to be done, because we have to subpoena or FOIA request some documents that are still under court seal by the DOJ, and these are the things that got me involved in this investigation in the first place, was when I saw what they had changed in particular documents that are under seal that I can't talk about right now.
Hey, let me ask you a question you probably don't want to answer or can't answer. Have you seen video evidence at this point that corroborates your feeling of collusion between the judge and the prosecutor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. 100%.
Wow. Interesting.
I received a...
And that's a case, a situation.
Yes,
a
situation. One.
Well, you're just allows you to open Pandora's box and say, now let's open
Well, I mean, the Jacob Chansley thing, the shaman, I mean, he was exonerated basically because of video with Tucker Carlson and all of this stuff. So that's why I want to know. I mean, is it... Yeah, are we seeing the evidence?
There's another case that has already been revealed by Joe Hanneman from the Epoch Times, and he was sitting next to me at one of the consoles there at the Capitol for 3 days. And we were looking at each other's, you know, finds and discoveries, and he was working on the officer Brian Sicknick story. That's the officer who died the next day. Yeah. And, of course, they arrested two men that basically became in the DOJ, the cop killers that allegedly sprayed him with the pepper spray, and then that set off whatever eventually became the stroke or the heart attack or whatever that he died from the next day. So in the process of sitting next to Joe, as he's working on that video find, Joe's like, come here, come here. And I'm leaning over and looking, and then we just, our mouths were hanging open, because in these individuals' trial, one particular, his name was Julian Cater. I think he was sentenced to 82 months. And his, in the trial, they showed his extended arm spraying one of those little pocket keychain pepper sprays. Mm-hmm. And then they cut away. This is what the prosecution presented in the trial. Then they cut away and they show Sicknick recoiling and putting, you know, water in his eyes, that sort of thing. Except that in real life, Sicknick was 15 or 20 feet away, and when Julian Cater extended his arm for the spray, he sprayed Officer Carolyn Edwards. And he never was anywhere near Sicknick, but he was the cop killer.
Wow.
Camera angles, buddy, Hollywood.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. It is.
And I could talk to you the rest of the show about this, but I'm told we have to cover the rest of the
show. Let's stay with it. No.
Do you want to?
Steve.
You want to stay with it?
I want to.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Overruled by Judge Prather.
Judge Prather.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Steve, we're keeping you for one more segment here, because there's just so much to cover still with January 6th. And before we get back into it, I would like for the audience to know, are you, Steve Baker, suicidal?
Absolutely not.
Okay, because I have a feeling you're on a lot of lists right now, and you are also, there's a grand jury that has convened or is convening.
I have been subpoenaed for, actually, my videos from January 6th have been subpoenaed. In my personal videos that I took that day, I was there covering January 6th as a journalist.
And wow.
Followed the story where the story went. And right. So I did all the things that a journalist would do. And that the only journalists who have been prosecuted so far, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. are those who did not come out of that event with the correct narrative. Right. Somewhere between 80 and 100 journalists actually joined that crowd. Some of them were in the very first 5-10 people that went through the first breach door of the Capitol, and they've never been charged.
So this is retribution time.
Yeah, I think that because of the fact there's no way that they don't know what story I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I've received two different messages from sources inside the DOJ already. The last one was just a couple of weeks ago that said, and the encrypted message I got said, they are terrified of the story that you're working on. And the previous one that I received was about 2 or 3 weeks before Tucker was kicked off of Fox. And because of that message, he had me on his show that night because of the warning message I'd received that morning.
Yeah. We're praying for God's cover and protection over you, Steve. Just look, I mean, keep going. Press on.
Yeah. We're going to.
And you mentioned the encrypted messages that came in. I didn't know if there were. I was going to ask you, are there people on the inside of the DOJ that are secretly reaching out to you saying,
yeah, through sources.
Attaboy.
Through sources. They're saying, the first time I got a call at 6:30 in the morning from a friendly journalist with a source inside the DOJ in D.C., and this friendly journalist said that he received the message, said, tell your friend in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live, tell your friend in Raleigh to be careful. They're watching closely. And that was what got me on Tucker that night. And then it would fast forward 3 months, just a couple of weeks ago, I received another one of those messages that said they're terrified about what you're looking at.
Do you ever see like a car that happens to just follow you everywhere you go, kind of in the background? I can't imagine that at this point anyone in the FBI is good at their job.
I do and say everything, regardless of whether I'm using an encrypted app or not, mm-hmm. as though I'm being listened to. Every word that I say in an interview on television. and when I do have to say something, I've got one of those pouches, you know.
Pouch,
I turn the phone off.
I put
it in the bag and throw it in the back of my car or whatever. Yeah. You know, you have to do that sometimes.
You do. You
know? So it's just unfortunately the position that I've been put in or that they've put me in. And to be honest with you, I make no bones about this. They weaponized me against them. Mm. We're working against the weaponization of
And that's what they've done to the American people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Across the board. They've created a monster. Mm. What are they meant to, inadvertently, whatever, but they've created a monster with the American people. The people feel like they have no voice left, they have no say, they have no liberties. It's all been stripped away. And you can be brought up on these trumped up charges or no charges at all.
Yes. Right.
And shoved in solitary confinement for 2 years and people just forget you're there. Mm-hmm.
But Chad, if
it's created a public that's gonna say no more at some point in time.
But if McCarthy delivered on his promise and you released that 41,000 hours of footage to the American people, right? And you had an army of, I don't know, a million investigative reporters and we really go through it, oh, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I promise you there's 41,000 people out there willing to analyze an hour each. Yeah.
You would find some stuff. They would line up to say, I'm in, I'll help.
But they would find the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's okay.
Right. Great point, yeah.
What I saw on January 6th myself, and I say this repeatedly, is that I saw bad people doing bad things, good people doing good things, and saw some otherwise good people doing some pretty stupid things as they got caught up in the moment. And fortunately, we're seeing some of that in the trials, you know, like the recent Proud Boys sentencing hearings. In fact, while we're taping this, Enrique Tarrio is actually going through.
And the prosecutor wanted 33 years for a victimless nonviolent crime. 33 years is what they're pushing for this guy. I mean, that's insane.
He wasn't even there.
Rapists don't get 6 months. I mean,
This is
back to your earlier point in the last segment. This is what I call over and over again judicial tyranny. And when you know there's collusion and there's eye contact and panic between a prosecutor and a judge, that's the definition of this. These guys, they're trumping this stuff up and they're making sure that their collusion act works. Mm-hmm. And that pisses everybody off, right? Because what it's going to lead to is men in society, in American society, who have nothing left to lose, and that's the most dangerous man out there. Yeah. And they're taking all that away. What do you think the end result's going to be? When that house of cards falls, it's violence. If they wanted, watch my show. Just watch my show. I'm sorry, Steve. I want to hear Steve.
No, what you said is exactly right. In fact, I did an interview on WUSA, the CBS affiliate, right after I walked out of the Capitol building and saw with my own eyes Ashley Babbitt being extracted. I caught the video. Mm. My videos have been used in the New York Times documentary, the HBO documentary, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so after that, I did an interview with WUSA, And I would imagine it's possible that some of the words I said in that interview will be used against me if the grand jury hears what I said, because they asked me, what did I think about what was going on? And I said, well, there's a darkness under that dome. And I said, and if this large of a group shows up next time armed,
it won't be with selfie sticks.
They're not getting that building back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So I said those words.
Yeah.
Now, will those words be used against me?
Of course they will. Steve, I appreciate you being here so much. Tell everyone where they can follow your work.
Well, the best place is the platform formerly known as Twitter. Yeah. And that's TPC4USA, at TPC4USA. And the same handle, they can find me in my locals page, which is also at TPC4USA.
And I just want to clarify, that's the number four.
Yes, the number four.
Not spelled out. So the number four, TPC4USA.
And we have a whole stack of Blaze articles about to pop as well. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, everyone be on the lookout for that at theblaze.com. Steve, come back soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be right back. CNN actually pushed back on Anthony Fauci's claim that masks work over the weekend. You wouldn't believe it, but I have the evidence. Watch.
Brett Stevens in The Times talked about Cochrane. Put that on the screen. The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Mayan Damacy, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about the N95 masks as opposed to the lower quality surgical or cloth masks? Makes no difference. None of it, he said. Well, what about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. How do we get beyond that finding of that particular review?
Go ahead.
Yeah, but
liar.
There are other studies, Michael, that show at an individual level for individual. When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong.
This dumbass really wants you to believe that somehow it didn't work on a pandemic level, but on an individual level, they worked. Well, no, idiot, because if they worked on an individual level, they would work on a pandemic larger scale.
Can we go back to that?
I did that whole thing without cursing.
Just do a still shot of that little two-panel shot right there. And Michael, what's his name? Smirkonish.
Smirkonish.
Look how wide-eyed and coked up he is, like a beta cuck. No, give me a shot where he's looking at Fauci.
He's finding it. He's finding
just rolling that thing. Look how wide-eyed he is. And I want you to see this face. This is the face of someone who is begging, mask me, daddy. Mask me, daddy. Put something across my face. I want to diaper up. Give me a reason to believe in you, Lord Fauci, I want you to put it on my face. That whole interview, that's the way he's looking at him. That's the way the cuck sits over in the corner of the hotel room and watches his wife get railed by another man. That right there, that's the look of tyrannized Americans that are willing to forfeit their rights.
I did not see you going that direction.
That's the way I went.
He's not lying.
That's the way I went.
He's not lying.
That's a beta male right there.
But I'll say this, but it's so on par with their whole message, right? Mm-hmm. The collective. Mm-hmm. The collective, mm-hmm. right? And we'll tell you whether it moved the collective because the individual doesn't really matter, you know?
Right.
And so of course, the collective is made up of a bunch of individuals, and the virus attacks the individual, right? And if the mask doesn't work for the individual, it won't work for the collective. But that's their whole.
So communist.
I mean, it is.
Completely communist.
So communist.
I mean, you can't be. I mean, actually, at this point, I think Xi Jinping is taking notes from the U.S. on how to run communist China.
It's just like it's incredible to me how much they have just, I mean, turned science, the idea of science, into just a complete clown show.
Mockery.
There is no ounce of scientific anything left when it comes to anything any government expert is telling you ever. That he's trying to tell you that while masks didn't work in the study on a larger scale, somehow they worked on an individual scale.
Mask me, Dad.
This is, by the way, the same guy who at the beginning of the pandemic said that masks didn't work and then later said, we just didn't want other people to buy up the PPE that the doctors had to use. Mm. So we just lied. That's science.
No, they mask shamed you and called you a killer.
Yeah.
If you didn't wear a mask because you didn't allow them to flatten the curve by wearing your mask, right? I mean,
come on, Dad.
Look,
mask me.
I have seen people start wearing masks again in public. I automatically judge you. Judging you.
Yeah, me too.
There's a mental insanity.
I have a visceral reaction now to seeing the mask. Like, you are really going to do this again. You're really going to do this again.
I'm willing to mask up only if they bring back the nurses and the TikTok dances.
No, don't you dare.
No.
Can we bring that back?
No, absolutely.
I miss that.
The nurses will try very hard to bring that back.
Yeah, it gave them some attention.
Yes. By the way.
The real nurses, though. Those fake contract nurses that just bounce around from hospital to hospital, you know.
Well, we're digging it deep.
Yeah, no.
We're getting a hole here, Doug.
On the topic of COVID.
Here comes nursesforamerica.org.
If they masked up and they were pro-mask and they were part of the lying to the people.
YakuBullions@thebottomline.com.
Come on.
We got to go. But on this topic, I would just like to say Jill Biden has contracted COVID-19.
No!
After her, seventh booster?
No!
Yes!
Not Dr. Jill!
After all this, Dr. Jill has contracted COVID, but she's experiencing mild symptoms, which I'm sure is due to the 7,000th booster that she let them put in her arm.
It ain't nothing a little vacation won't fix.
We gotta go to break. We'll be back.
Little sunlight.
Ugh. God, these people.
I love them, ladies.
Really quickly here, Super Bowl champion Aaron Rodgers posted a Instagram story, picture of him enjoying a bucket list activity. He said, being able to witness the greatness of Djokovic in person at a tennis tournament. And you'll notice
he crossed out the Moderna emblem right there because, of course, Moderna was sponsoring the tournament with the hashtag Novax Djokovic.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron is not vaxxed. Djokovic not vaxxed. Mm-hmm. So two champions right there.
I love it.
Two champions, aside from the fact that they're actual champions, just champions because they held strong in sports where they were, there was a lot of pressure being put on them, especially Djokovic.
No, Aaron took a beating in the NFL, man. He was the only one, and he stood strong. He kept,
I mean, Djokovic, you know, he missed out on a lot of career opportunities because
of
it. He held strong.
His rankings fell because he couldn't play the tournaments. He really paid a price. And they asked him, what price are you willing to pay? And he said, my health is more important.
Well, I mean, you know, they haven't dropped dead on the field yet. So I think they made the right decision.
Or the court.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.